Blog Talk Radio.
Well, hello, this is George Gamond, and welcome to the show. Welcome to Wednesday's show. How is everyone getting ready for Christmas? Seems like everything's rushing up on us right now. It's just no time to do everything we need to do, and I've been doing some things myself that have been kept me really busy. So, before I have a caller. Well, I'll be with you in a minute. Give me a minute. I'm going to set the show up a little bit and kind of where I'm coming from. And, okay, and we'll hopefully answer your questions, or I'll let those who are in your soul family, those who are just passed, you know, into the non-physical world, answer your questions. Those who know more about you than any spirit guide would, because they're part of your family. So we'll see what happens on that. I had to go, I don't know, this won't relate to people here, but I had to drive yesterday and I had to come back to where I live on the freeway, and it was very busy, so I had time to think. Oh no, dangerous things, time to think, right? So I had two epiphanies, and not things that I never knew about before. It's not like, ooh, that's so brand new, I never thought of it before. But two epiphanies. One was about worry. That, you know, you can talk about worry, and you get all these articles, and I presented lots of articles about worry and yeah, blah, 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 bad it is for you, and don't worry and don't do all these things. But yesterday's little message or thoughts I had on worry is, it's more of an analytical aspect of worry in the sense of, what good does it do? What good does worry do? And the answer I came up with, it does nothing. Worry accomplishes nothing. Because it just puts you in a negative state, a negative frame of mind, and you're not in a place. Now, to go from a metaphysical place of what worry does is keeps you in problem. It just keeps you in the problem. Now, obviously, I know these things, and most of you know this, but I couldn't come up with a good reason for worry because it keeps you in problem. And if you worry about the same thing over and over and over and over again, if you're asking for answers, if you're sending it out to God or the universe, they've already heard you a dozen times or a thousand times in the same subject. All that does is get you stuck. Stuck. That's a big word here. Stuck. It gets you stuck in problem. And what you need to do is to move to solution, right? You need to be in a place of solution, open to solution, allowing solution to come for you, to you. And you don't get solution from going over the same thing over and over and over. Let's say you need money. Okay, I'll use that example. Or a relationship or whatever it is. You need it, right? Okay, so you worry about it. So what good does that do? Nothing. Absolutely nothing. You don't come up with answers. Every time you get it, they don't always work out. So you need enlightened answers by being in the state, a positive state of mind. So my first epiphany was just, there's no value in worry whatsoever. Nothing. It doesn't do anything for you. It doesn't help you. Now, you need to move from worry to trust. Trust that there will be answers. Now, that's really hard for a lot of people. Trust in the universe. Trust in higher self. Trust in God. Trust in something outside yourself that's going to bring you the answers. It's going to solve the problem. Because worries are based on problems, aren't they? Based on problems. Epiphany number one. Epiphany number two. And I got thinking about this, and let me try to make sense. The epiphany had to do with what do I really love to do? What is my primary thing that I love to do? Okay. Well, what I really do love in life. And there's a lot of things we love. I love our family, love my granddaughter, love my daughter, love my family. But what do you really love to do? And that was for me. And I would ask anybody, just stop some time and say, what do you really love to do? Is it your job? Is it your hobbies? What is it that you really love to do? I mean, I enjoy baseball a lot. And, you know, do I love baseball? Yeah, you could say that. But what I love to do when I'm doing right here is sharing information. I get off on sharing information. And then I thought about that. Sharing information. Does it have to be on one specific topic? Does it have to be on spirituality? No, it can be a lot of any things. It's not the love of necessarily sharing spiritual things and spiritual truths as much as it is just sharing information, communicating ideas, and hopefully I'm helping other people by communicating ideas. So that's where my focus is. And that's the epiphany for me was, what do I love? It's just sharing information. It's taking your information and just putting it out there. Taking it in and putting it out there, because that's what I love to do. So that's why I do the radio show. Primarily, that's why I write, that's why I do blogs, that's why I write poetry. That's why I work with people. But it really is more about sharing information. And you can take the information or you can do whatever you want with it. Doesn't matter what you do with it. I don't care. You can take it and go, yeah, that's crazy. I don't want to do that. So let me take a call. We'll get more into this about my epiphany, about sharing information. And I have some articles, see articles about sharing information. You can take them or leave them, but I think they're valuable at some level. And I think there's a lot of truth and a lot of sharing. Then if something hits home with you and you go, yeah, it makes sense to me. I can use that. Because you don't have to have the lightning bolts all the time. You can have little pieces of information run through your life that can make a difference. So let me take a call and we'll get back into sharing information and more about what I mean by that. Okay, so let me take this call. Hello.
Hi.
Hi. And this is George. And who am I speaking to?
Oh, my name is Maribel.
Maribel, what's going on today on this beautiful Wednesday? Are you ready for Christmas?
Almost. I have last minute shopping to do, so it's a little hectic right now.
Yeah, you only have a little over a week, huh? Ooh, you're right. So what's going on? What's on your mind today?
Well, for the most part, I resonated a lot with what you were talking about before in terms of knowledge and trying to share that knowledge with others. But then again, them only being able to accept what they can at that moment, like depending on where their life situation they're in.
Right.
So I kind of felt like, you know what, this is totally normal then. It's not like, because I don't feel like it's cool to like necessarily try to push down information into people's heads when in fact, they just can't understand it right now. Like, they're not in that point of their life where they're able to take the information and understand it.
Yeah, there's a great illustration, which I'm being shown by Spirit on that. It's like a buffet, right? You can put a buffet mm-hmm. out. You can put all the foods out. You can put the turkey and the steak and whatever, roast beef and the fish. And people are only going to choose what they want to choose, right? Or the desserts.
Mm-hmm.
So not everybody's going to accept what you have to say. Correct? So where are you having a problem with this? Are you having a difficult time attracting the right people for what you want to talk about and present?
Signs of that, because in terms of relationships and especially in the love like area where you're trying to find somebody to make a commitment to, it's very hard to, at least in my situation, it's hard to find somebody who I'm able to, like, you know, have that connection with, but at the same time, find that physical attraction as well. Because I'm not going to be blind and say, you know what, it's all about what's on the inside. There is a component of it that is based on physical attraction.
Right. I understand that. It you know, and in relationships, women and men, but more so than men, because I have to admit this, that it is about the physical attraction. But women well, I wonder about that. You know, you're attracted, that chemistry, that initial spark of chemistry, correct?
Exactly.
Which you build on. Once you get to know a little bit more about the character of the person, then it builds on itself. And you go, oh, yeah, this person can be a really good friend, too. And plus, I really find this person very attractive. So the question is for you, where are you looking?
Where am I? Well, I tend to, like, look in places where I'm often at. Like, so I'll either be, whether I'm working out or if I'm, like, in the library studying at school sometimes, too. So, you know, areas where I will find myself in.
Okay. But are those things that you're interested in, or are those things that you have to go to?
Well, I do find academia very interesting, and working out in general, I love it. So, yeah.
Well, that's two sides of the body. That's like the body and the brain, right?
Mm-hmm.
Do you know what I mean? The physically.
Oh, true. I didn't see it that way.
Because you go to the gym and you're working out, and you might find guys that are really good looking and well built and so blah blah blah, right?
Mm-hmm.
But you don't know if they're intellectually up to what you're thinking of, you're into, right?
Exactly.
And if you go to the library, you're almost better off going to the library and looking for men who work out.
True. Oh, man. I didn't think about it that way. Whoa.
Or any kind of academia where, you know, and so, yeah. Are you interested in any particular types of sports?
In types of sports? Well, I dabble here and there, but like I'm not really good at anything.
No, I mean, but do you enjoy watching anything? I don't know where I'm going with this.
I like to watch, in the gym that I used to go to, they used to play basketball, so I used to like to watch that.
Okay.
And what else did I like to watch? I like to watch volleyball games, too.
Okay. So we're into the physical world, right? We're into the physical world.
Mm-hmm.
It feels like in your case, you need to surround yourself, the intellectual is really important to you because you want to be able to carry on a conversation and you want to be stimulated in that way. And if you combine somebody who also is physically attractive to you in that arena, that's what would work for you.
Definitely.
Now I'm not saying every man that goes to the gym is an idiot, you know, IQ of 94 and goes to the gym, but I get kind of your energy is that the academia is just a little bit more important to you.
Yes.
That your mind wants to be stimulated by somebody who can talk to you, can share ideas, and then while you're looking in his eyes, you go, wow, right?
Yes, you got it.
Well, so maybe going to lectures, going to things that you're interested in, and that end of it, and then leaving yourself open to men that you find physically attractive.
Okay. Not
bad. Because the gym, you're going to find, you could find physically attractive men. But, okay, the other thing I hear to you on this one, because this is kind of interesting, is let's say you go to the gym and there's a bunch of men that are really good looking and they're not gay, right? Which could be a problem in itself, right? But come up
with... So disappointing.
Yeah, I know. It's kind of frustrating for women. It's good for us guys. It's us. It's good for us because we go, he's gay. Too bad. You know, right?
Damn it.
But come up with something that you would talk to somebody about that's not just about the gym, that you want to probe them a little bit of something to test their intellectual capacity right away.
Okay.
Like what? I'm really into books. What have you been reading, right? And if they look at you like, reading books? What are you talking about, right?
Mm-hmm.
Or do you like movies at all?
Yeah.
Okay, then ask them not just about, have you seen Jurassic Park, right? You know? Have you seen any of the action movies? Ask them if they've seen any movies that really get into human character and human development, you know, have that deeper meanings to them, and see what kind of response that you get. Any movie that you like that would make somebody think a little bit. Okay?
Okay. Definitely.
So you need to push that a little bit. Excuse me. Because you want to know right away if they're intellectually compatible with you.
Mm-hmm.
And that's pretty easy to do, even in the gym setting, right?
Well, the way you explained it now, yeah.
which it's asking the right questions. It's asking them about what have you read lately, what you've been reading. I read this book by, and they look at you like, what are you talking about, right?
Mm-hmm.
Or they go, yeah, I read something very similar to that, and you should read this. Then you go, whoa, I got a connection going on here, right?
Yeah.
So kind of plan out the questions you would ask to stimulate conversation to find out if this person is a little deeper than the surface level appearance.
True.
If he doesn't want to just talk about his car, right?
Oh, man.
Right?
Yeah. I mean, when it comes to like the physical possessions that somebody has, it really, if that's the only thing you have to going for you, like in the conversational level, I don't know. You're not going to attract the right people anyway.
Right. So you need to ask those probing questions. That's what I'm trying to get for you.
Exactly.
Ask a little bit more. And you can do that right away. You can know in about 3 minutes, oh, yeah, there's something here. This guy is on the ball, you know? If he starts talking about it. And one psychologist I was reading, it was talked about going out on the dating circuit, and she was talking about going out on dates. And she would know in 3 minutes. Or less, if this person was worth it. Because if immediately he starts talking about himself and doesn't ask you about anything, if he's not trying to probe into your world, like, what do you like, what do you do, blah, 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 and it's all about, well, you know, I'm doing this and I got this going on and, you know, I've done this and gone there, he's not interested in you. He just likes to talk about himself.
True. Sure.
So you can just say, okay, you pay for the coffee, I'm out of here, right away.
Like, oh, you want to take this?
I'm sorry?
No,
you
I was just
going
to say, yeah.
You need to get men to open up a little bit about themselves, but you got to make sure that they're interested in who you are and not whether you're going to go to bed with them or not.
Yeah, that seems to be the main factor with guys my age right now.
So,
like, everywhere I go.
Well, then you got to probe them intellectually a little bit more, okay?
Okay.
And see if they get back to you about want to probe your life a little bit. You know, how many siblings do you have? Do you have any pets? That sort of stuff. Where did you grow up? Where did you go to school? That's the kind of questions you're trying to get them to ask you, because then you know they're interested in who you are and not whether, I wonder if she sleeps on the first date or not.
Oh, man.
Right?
Yes.
So work that direction. Work the probing questions, but then try to see if they come back with questions about you and want to know about you and know more about your world and what you're doing, what your goals are. And you can even ask, what are your goals? What are your goals? Where do you see yourself in 5 years? Right?
Oh, man. Yeah, because that's important.
Or 10 years, right?
Yeah.
Oh, yeah, I'm going to be living on a boat in the South Seas in 10 years, right? You know, it's like, thanks a lot.
Oh,
okay.
God.
Right? So
yeah.
Try all that. You'll get there. But I would say if you're going to go for the physical look first, then you really need to probe the questions, right?
Yeah.
And if you're really going intellectual first, then it really is about, you can do a lot of the same stuff, but then the physical attraction comes. That's just going to be like, whoa, okay. And he's reading. Look at the book he's reading. Wow, okay, cool. And finding out if it's right. And then it really is about, especially in an intellectual setting, and I'm spending a lot of time on this, and I didn't mean to do that, but on an intellectual setting, some men who are in their heads and read, it's all about them. Right?
What do you mean?
They don't ask you questions about you. It's about what they have done and what they've read and what they're doing and what they've accomplished and the degrees that they have and blah, 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 and what they're... So I think the real key here for you is when you start to engage in conversation with some man is how quickly does he get into about you, knowing about you? In the first 5 minutes, is it all about him or is it all about you? Is it about you or is it 50-50? Ideally, it's 50-50, right?
Yeah. I was going to say that. I'm not much to, like, talk about myself either.
But you want to know that he's interested in you and wants to know all about you and a lot of things about mm-hmm. you. That's at least the surface level stuff, you know, like where did you grow up? Where did you go into school? You know, yeah, siblings, blah, blah, blah. You know, what are your goals? What are your dreams? And same thing, going back and forth. I think if you just pay attention to that sort of thing, it'll be much easier to meet somebody. And plus, you won't waste a lot of time. You can know in 10 minutes whether you can know within, even if you're physically attracted to somebody, you can know in 10 minutes whether there's going to be some kind of like kind of getting to know each other and, you know, whether there could be a friendship here if you like the same sort of things. That's what you're probing for.
Okay.
Okay.
Okay. I'm taking this.
Try that. Just try that. But make sure. You know, the real big red flag, the red banner that you really want to think about is when you're engaging in a conversation for the first time with a new man, is it about him or is he interested in you to know about you?
All right.
Other than, oh, do you have a roommate or do you live alone? You know, that sort of
thing.
Yeah. Yeah, those probing little questions about, well, is she available for sex, right?
Mm-hmm.
You want to go at a much different level direction than that. You got it? Go for it. You'll get it. You'll meet somebody really quickly because you got your mindset into finding out somebody. And the universe is going to help you if you're putting it out there and saying, my intention is to meet somebody who's intellectually and physically attractive to each other.
Okay.
My intention is to meet somebody where there's both physical and intellectual compatibility, right?
Yes.
And put it out there every day. Start the day out. Today, my intention today is to meet somebody in those around those parameters. And you'll start bumping into people pretty quickly.
Okay.
Okay.
I guess it just takes a little bit more awareness.
Yeah, well, that's a big thing. Awareness is huge here, isn't it? Awareness about the person. Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
Because you don't get starstruck and look at some guy and go, wow, he's great. And then about 2 hours later, you're going, wow, he's a jerk.
Exactly. Exactly.
Okay, go for it.
All right. Thank you so much.
You're welcome. Take care. Bye
now.
You
too. Bye.
So as I was saying when I first started to talk and this epiphany I had about what do I really love to do? Well, that was a perfect example. I love to share information. I love to share, and I've been doing this for, you know, a long time, studied a lot, you know, basically an intuitive. I have my spirit guides that help me through this. You know, they stimulate the thought patterns. It doesn't sound like I'm channeling, but I am at sometimes when I come up with these questions for people. And it's this information, but I love to share. I love to share what I've learned or what I'm given to share with people. That's my number one thing. That's the coolest thing in the world. Like this last caller, it was fun to get into that conversation and for me to just kind of let, okay, what do you got for her, spirit guys? And it's not about, oh, this is going to happen. It's more about how you're going to get there. Because the law of attraction, and I really believe this strongly, that the universe will provide you anything you want. You know, it's like the Abraham material. You know, just ask and it is given. But then you got to get into the state of allowance, allowing it to happen. And to use that example, state of allowing is to be able to ask the right questions, to be open to the right people, to know what you want. Now, that lady knew what she wanted, but she's kind of not. She needs a little clues on maybe deciphering how it works with the individual she meets so she doesn't waste a lot of time. So I believe that, yeah, the universe will give you anything you want. And psychically and so forth, we can say this is going to happen 6 months from now. This is going to happen 3 months from now. And the reason it doesn't happen most of the time is because you're not in a state of allowance. You're in a state of resistance. You know, if somebody tells you something's going to happen in 6 months and you go, yeah, I've heard that before. Yeah, sure. That's going to happen. Yeah, right. You know, I've been promised that. You know, that happened with a lot of people a few years ago at jobs. because people are out of work. You know, there was a recession. I remember doing a lot of readings during the recession period. People called in. They were really kind of upset. I've been out of job for a year. What am I going to do? When am I going to get a job? And just in their energy field, you could feel the resistance, the negativity. Now, I can understand it. I can appreciate why they got there. I mean, it can be really discouraging. You know, you lose a job and you get all wild positive about, well, I'm going to find a new job. And after time, it starts to drag and you're not getting that new job. And then you're getting desperate and you're calling all these crazy psychics because you can't get a job and you want somebody to tell you it's going to happen next week and it doesn't happen next week. So you have to kind of back up a little bit. You have to get yourself back into a positive frame of mind. And the job thing, I'm always telling people, if you want to get back into the positive state of mind, you have to be in service. You have to volunteer. You have to do things for other people. You have to feel like you're a working person. Because, you know, as it's been said, the people who have a job, it's easier to get a job, right? You're already working. You're already in that energy field of working. So you have to get yourself back into it. I don't know why I get into all this. Anybody else have any questions in the chat room or want to call in? We can get some more information to you from spirit or maybe some ancestors. That's what I like to talk to, is dead people about what's going on in your lives. And if not, I have some articles. Okay? Oh, I have a quote. Kind of goes along with what we've been talking about. This is from the Abraham material. If you're familiar with the Abraham material, the Law of Attraction, the Secret, well, the original one. A lot of the basic information from the Secret was based on the Abraham material, which is from Esther and Jerry Hicks, or the Abraham Hicks material, and all those books and, you know, workshops and DVDs and everything. Okay, so they've been doing this since about 30 years. What Esther's been doing and Jerry passed a couple of years ago. Time moves by so quickly. I've been to a couple of workshops myself. It was really a lot of fun. If you ever get a chance, go. Okay. If they come to your town, Esther comes to your town, Esther Hicks, the Abraham material. So this is a quote from a workshop in 1997. See, it's always been a while. They've been out there running around loose. February 27th from Napa, California. Let me start over. This is, you know, Abraham is a group of non-physical entities that present their material through Esther Hicks, if you're not familiar with them. You know, like channeling, but she doesn't like to say that, but it is. You don't have to take the bad with the good. Why include the bad in your vibration? Ooh. Why include the bad in the vibration? Only include the good in the vibration. Then only the good can come to you. Okay, so we're going to kind of rephrase that and put it back into a thing that that kind of goes along with what I've been saying here, is that if you're looking to solve a problem and you're worrying about a problem, then you're in a bad vibration. Then the problem is the bad vibration, basically, because you can just go over and over and over again about the problem. But by getting into solution vibration, you're getting into that good vibration. And so what are the ways of doing that? Go do something that's fun. Find some fun activities to do. Go play with your dog, your cat. Go play with a baby that's not crying. Okay? Go ride a Ferris wheel. I don't know. Whatever seems fun to you. Get yourself into good vibration. And one of the key ways of doing that is doing what they call rants of appreciation. Go look at your life and look at your life and what you do appreciate. The little things. Just start with the tiny little things. Stay general as possible. You don't have to get into the huge specific things at first, but just get into general stuff about your life that you appreciate. And then you get more and more specific. And as you go through your rants of appreciation, you start opening yourself up to new things to appreciate. I know it sounds so simplistic, but at some level, it is very simplistic. Okay? I know that's kind of strange. You know, we make a big deal out of all this. We make it sound so hard and difficult to get what we want in life. Because it is difficult, because we have egos, and our egos like to dwell in the past, Our egos like to go forward into the future and worry about things instead of just letting it go. Let it go. Let it go. Okay, so I hopefully I'm not boring you folks too much with this information, but that's what I love to do is share. So let me get in a couple articles, and then we'll go from there. We had the Abraham thing. Oh, can we just do something more fun? How about, I love to get into health stuff. I went to the doctor the other day, and there's certain things I need to do, and I need to watch again and again, right? And so I'm thinking maybe something fun about, instead of talking about relationships. Okay, let's do this about relationships. 10 ways you may be sabotaging your relationship. I like this. If you're in a relation, new one or an old one, there's 10 ways that you could be sabotaging a relationship. Or if you're getting into a relationship, watch for these things because this can cause damage to a relationship. First one is being right. You'd rather be right than in love. As long as you're talking about how to respond proactively when things go wrong, there's just acknowledging that inevitably be times when your partner falls short, makes a mistake, or frankly just blows it. Even though it may seem justified or feel better in the moment, choosing a righteous response will only damage trust and cause lingering resentment. Plus, it will teach them to stonewall, deny, argue, rather than simply apologize and admit a mistake in the future. I'm thinking, reading this, I'm going that old expression, I told you so. I told you if you did that, this is what would happen, right? I told you so. You know, look at me. I know all the answers, right? Okay, instead of doing that, it's critical to condition the behavior you want to see by using rewards and not punishment if you want a relationship that lasts. Take the high road and give your partner the benefit of the doubt, especially if they don't expect or feel that they deserve it. They made a mistake. Don't lord it over them. Don't dump on them. Don't, okay? It really builds appreciation, goodwill, and desire to do even better to please you the next time. Bottom line, whenever possible, give people a graceful way to save face when they screw up. Not, I told you so. I told you you're going to do that. I knew the consequences. Well, that was going to happen, right? You know, blah, blah, blah. No. What did they say? Whenever possible, give people a graceful way to save face when they screw up. Have the humility, that's a good word here, have the humility to apologize quickly if you're the one who screws up. Both habits go a long way to creating and sustaining your love, the love you desire. Isn't that kind of cool? So just, it's in the follow-up little thought is here, just kind of don't sweat the small stuff. Stand up on the principle of big stuff, you know, the big stuff, the deal-breaker stuff. But don't sweat all the little stuff in a relationship, right? You know, putting the cap back on the toothpaste. Well, I told you that. Look what happens, you know, if you blah, 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 right? Okay. So, moving right along. Let me check back with you guys. I don't know how much time we have left. We're having fun. I'm having fun here. I don't know if you're having fun. But this is kind of cool stuff. So, where were we? Okay, so the first one was, okay, so the second one's, you make it about you. This is 10 ways you can be sabotaging your relationship. I should post these on Facebook if anybody wants to join me on Facebook. And let me take a break, a little commercial break here and say that I've had some problems with my website. I thought I was changing my website from one carrier to another, and it got all messed up from one host to another, and it would come back with the original website and the new host, but it didn't. It just kind of wiped it out. So the website's gone, basically. My Earthlight SC is gone for right now. I am going to reformat it and put it back together. So if you want to make a payment, I listed the messenger.info. You can go there, and if you want to help me with the show, or if you want to contact me with my email address or through Facebook, or even through this, you can contact me that way. But the old website for right now is kind of gone, but it will be back. It will be resurrected. Okay, so back to the article. So if you want to help me with the show, go to the messenger.info. You can help me there. You made it about you. You make things you take things personally and make it about you. Human beings will usually try to meet their perceived needs, even if it occasionally means violating their values in some way. The truth is, often has very little to do with anyone else because someone else's needs simply aren't as critical as your needs. That makes sense, doesn't it? That's why it's a huge waste of time and energy to demonize a partner's action and make them about you. Choose to empathize with their needs instead. What better way to demonstrate maturity in your own value than by acknowledging that your partner has needs that also deserve that need to be met? So then everything's not about you. It's not always about you, right? Everything's about me, right? Do your best to be the one who can help them meet their needs better than anyone else. When you take things personally and get your feelings hurt too easily, it closes off communications, right? Makes problem solving nearly impossible and leaves you both at risk. Instead, be open to hearing what your partner wants and needs. Look for the common ground instead of the fault. Don't make it about you. Just don't always make it about you, right? That's hard for some people. It's always about me. No. Creating safe spaces. And this is the article is based on 10 ways you may be sabotaging your relationship. So if you're making everything about yourself, that can do it, right? That can do it. So if you're on Facebook with me, I just shared the article so you can read it on your own because I probably won't get through the rest of it. But creating safe spaces. You don't create a safe space for your partner to speak openly and just be. I know many of these items seem to overlap, and that's because they do cross over into one and the other. The truth is, bad habits and poor strategies that don't work are a slippery slope to ruin. People have a need to be seen, heard, and acknowledged and appreciated just as they are. They don't want to be judged, manipulated, or treated as if they're wrong or broken. Same space. Okay, you can open up. You can open up emotionally. You can be vulnerable with me. And I'm not going to judge. I'm not going to manipulate. I'm not going to treat you like you're broken. I'm going to respect you. So creating safe space really, let me finish the article, but for me that means they can talk to you, your partner can talk to you, and you're not going to judge. Ooh, wow. Not try to manipulate. Not try to use it against them. They're being vulnerable now. They're opening up about something, and you're not going to use that against them. This is a fundamental need that is so important. It's almost like emotional oxygen. I'll tell you a secret. Sometimes people may think they need or want things that might be real deal breakers for the other people, but what they really needed all along was just the acceptance that came with simply hearing them out and not making them wrong. The key to remember is that as soon as you judge someone else, you lose all ability to influence them. Let me read that over. That's a great statement. Let me think about this one. The key to remember is that as soon as you judge someone else, you lose all ability to influence them. Does that make true? Doesn't sound that true? They stop respecting you. You judge them. They shut down, right? If you can accept people where they are and give them more unconditional love than they've ever felt in their lives, that is the secret to an undying love. Think about it. Why would someone risk losing the greatest partner they've ever had, someone who also happens to always see the absolute best in them, even when they themselves temporarily lose sight of it? That is a powerful attribute and really tough to ever leave. So it's not judging, creating safe space for them to be open, to be vulnerable with you about whatever it is, and not going immediately into judgment. Oh, well, you were really bad. You know, that's really horrible. No. It's listening. Because we all make mistakes. We all do stupid stuff, right? We all flip out. We all flip out. We all make crazy, crazy statements. So what's the next one? Creating space. So if you're with me on Facebook, you can read this. I won't get through all of them today. Well, maybe a couple more, but you put others above the relationship. Ooh, this is a way to sabotage it, isn't it? You put other people or things ahead of your relationship. What you fail to celebrate will eventually deteriorate. A relationship, like all living things, needs nurturing care and ongoing nourishment if you want it to not only survive but thrive. Too often we get hypnotized by random unfinished business, never-ending demands, and shiny objects of a 24/7 media world. The key here is institutionalizing rituals. The key here is institutionalizing rituals. If you value what you have, institute a regular date night or ritual or a bedtime ritual, like a nightly gratitude check-in or just couples time. This is not a time to vent or complain. It's not a time. It's a time to connect, wind down, and fill one another up for the next day. So it's not a venting time, and it's not a complaining time, and it's not about time about talking about work and, you know, Joe Blow down the street and blah, blah, blah. It's a time for you to get together and be real with each other, right? If this seems too overwhelming to do on a daily basis, just try it once a week or once a month. The idea is to build a habit and muscle. You don't get in great shape by going to the gym once. It's an accumulation of many trips that gives you the results you want. Again, let the ritual do the work, and you'll thank me for it later. Okay, so it's really, don't put other things, always putting work first, or, ooh, you know, this is really big, and they don't talk about it here, but it's always putting friends above the relationship, or siblings above the relationship, or parents above the relationship. Now, I've heard this before from people. You know, I would really love to do, you know, they love their partner, but, and women have complained, well, he always goes helps his mother every night. He always there. Every night he goes over there and helps his mother. She's elderly, but he's always helping. And it seems like he never has any time for me. Ooh. I had a client like that. Now, there's obligations, of course, but the point is, if your partner's perceiving that you're putting everyone else first and you don't give that partner quality time, quality energy, right? That's what happens. So you have to do, as the article talks about, institute time for only you two. Your time, your quality time, your quality space. If it's every day, it's once a week, it's date night. And I would say it's time where the cell phones go off and taking no calls, cell phones, whatever else thing that, you know, the media, you know, you just smartphones, all that stuff goes away for that time period when you're together. For those quality times, you leave it all at home. Unless you got an emergency call from your kids, but that's, you know, that's different. It's really about you two. You two. So we won't get to the rest of these. Maybe I'll get to the rest of them tomorrow. But I think this is a really important topic about relationships. The importance and the value of not sabotaging a relationship, even if it's old, even if it's been around. Okay? So it's been fun. We didn't get to talk to any, maybe I am talking to people have passed, dead people. I don't know. Yes, I don't know. But that's what I like to do. So I'm here to communicate ideas and to present information. That's my job. And I love to be able to help you by giving you information from the vast knowledge that I've accumulated, which sounds kind of egotistical, doesn't it? But I don't mean it that way. But also mainly from Spirit. What Spirit has to say to you about your life. How to get what you want. So thank you. I love you guys. And I will be back tomorrow. We'll do more of this. And yeah, have a great evening. Have a beautiful rest of your day. Bye now.